seven, eight, nine. Tonight, I tried looking up jokes. Didn't find any. Other than a guy named his dog Timex and Rolex. They're his watchdogs. That was about it. That was my only good. I'm drying up here. No good jokes. That's alright. What? There isn't any jokes real quick? Aww. Caught him off guard. Be ready in season and out of season. That's what the Bible says. Yep. Be ready always. That's good for taking the Bible out of context there, but alright, we're in Genesis chapter number 6 tonight, and I was kind of trying to find something while I was praying for something that I could preach on. I was like, Pastor's obviously going to preach on the flood. I was like, so what am I going to preach on after that? So, I was kind of listening this morning to what he was saying, and I was like, I might have to make changes, I might not have to make changes. That's alright. If God wants you to hear it twice, I guess that's not a bad thing. But we'll start reading in chapter number 6 and verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the land in those days, and also after that, where the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thought, of his heart, was only evil continually." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we're able to be here tonight. Thank you so much for your word. I pray that you just help me now. Please give me the word to say. I pray that I wouldn't say anything that would go against the Bible. I pray that I wouldn't say anything that would contradict your word. I just pray that somebody would get something out of the message tonight. Please bless you. Have a good time of fellowship. I pray for all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so, earth was no longer what God intended the earth to be. God intended the earth for what? And he created man for what? Fellowship, right? God intended earth to be a place of fellowship for man and God to be. And of course, whenever Adam ate that grapefruit, I'm going to say, because everybody says apple. Don't get brain hurt. We don't know what it was. Okay, but whenever Adam and Eve sinned against God, then sin automatically entered into the world, and sin brings forth what? Death, right? So earth was no longer the paradise that God had intended it to be. Now sin ruled the hearts, and this time, the flood. Okay, sin ruled the hearts of every man. Okay, and today sin ruled the hearts of every man too. But I was doing the math, and what's the time from the creation to the flood? Does anybody know what that time space is? Anybody do that? Okay, so I kind of did a little bit of math, kind of did a lot of Googling. Okay, and they had a kind of a time space. It says 1,656 years. Okay, now it says, I'm going to give you the reason that this way that it is. It says, Adam was 150 years when he had Seth, and Seth was 105 years when he had Enos. And Enos was 90 when he begat Canaan, and he was 70 when he begat Mahili, and he was 65 when he had Jared. I love that Jared in there. Mahili Jared. Perfect. Okay, and then at his age of 162, he had Enos. Then Enoch begat Methuselah at 65, and then when Methuselah was 187, he had Lamech, and then Lamech, he was 182 when Noah was born. Okay, and then Noah was, how old was Noah when the flood happened? 600 years old. So if you add all that up, that adds up to 1,656. So there you go. You can probably add it up and find a different number. I don't know, that's what I found. And also, how old was Adam whenever he died? 930, okay? He was 930. So if you look at this, and again, my math here, I'm not a mathematician. Adam died when he was 930. That means that a lot of these men knew Adam, and it means that he lived up until, am I saying his name right? Lamech, I think, until he was in his 50s. So that's kind of mind-blowing, if you think of it like that. All these men probably knew Adam, or they were probably in different parts of the world, maybe. but they still could have known Adam up until Noah, of course. But, and then I also did the math, that's 9 generations. Okay, so that's 9 generations from the time of the perfect creation that God intended, all the way until the thoughts of men were evil. That's all it took. 9 generations for the world to completely turn evil, other than, of course, Noah. But the sin grieved God's heart so much that what did God say in his heart that he would do? He would destroy everything, right? He would destroy everything, everybody, not only men, but he would destroy every animal, too. And I thought that was very interesting, that our sin doesn't just wreck our lives, it wrecks the whole world. The Bible says the whole world was changed whenever Adam and Eve sinned. Okay? And in verse number 6, it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, of course, what does the word repentant mean again? Grieved, right? We always think, Pastor talked about that this morning, that we always think it means that he changed his mind, but he didn't change his mind. It just grieved him at his heart so much that he just broke his heart. And I was trying to think of an analogy. I was trying to think of whenever I'm at work and I make something and it doesn't turn out the way I want it to be, I always am really upset. It happens way more than it should. We'll get this turner ready and we'll weld it all up. We'll clean it up. We'll wash it and then I'll paint it. And then whenever it comes out of the paint room, it's not how it should be. And then somebody looks at somebody and everybody's like, "You got to kidding me." But I was like, that analogy doesn't really work because we messed up. In God's case, did God mess up? No, God didn't mess up whenever he created man. Man messed up. So I was like, well, no, that analogy doesn't really work. Okay? But because of the wicked condition of earth, God decided to start over. And he decided to start with Noah and his family. Now, what made Noah so important? What made Noah so important? He was a righteous man. He was just, and he was righteous in his, or he was just, and he was perfect in his generation. Okay, so that's what I want to look at tonight. Okay, I want to look at, in a world that was full of sin, a world that was full of everybody just constantly sinning, thinking of sin, doing sinful things, this man Noah was different. That's what I want to look at tonight. So the first thing, I'm just going to get right into it. The first thing that I noticed about Noah is that Noah feared God. Now what does it mean to fear God? Reverent respect. Whenever I was younger, whenever somebody would say, I'm talking like 8 or 9, not whenever I was younger as an 8 or 9. Whenever somebody said, we need to fear God, what automatically went into my head was, oh, I need to be scared of God. You know, God's scary. If he created the earth and everything in 6 days, I'm sure he could uncreate me in half a second. Okay, I'm sure that's not hard for him to do. I'm scared of God. But as I grew up, I think I was about 23 whenever I figured this out. But whenever I figured out that fear of God isn't what I thought it was, it's to have what Brother Todd said, that we're supposed to have a reverence for God. Now, what does reverence mean? Reverence means to have a deep respect for something or someone. We're supposed to have a respect for something or someone. Let me see here. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Then in Exodus 3:5-6, this is talking about Moses whenever he saw the burning bush. He says, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now we see that that is reverence. Okay, he took off his shoes. What is that implying? Finds I'm not worthy to be standing in the place that you are. Okay, I need to take my shoes off. And then it also says that he hid his face. Okay, he didn't even want to be in the presence, or not, didn't want to be, but he didn't think he should be in the presence of God. Okay, now I want to say that God is our friend, and we always say that God is our friend, but God is also our sovereign Lord. So, whenever we talk to God, yes, we always kind of want to go to God and be like, "Hey God, how are you? Having a great day." But these men here obviously knew something that we don't know. Okay, they had a deep fear for God, or a deep reverence for God, to where they saw God and they took their shoes off. They saw God and they hid their face. Now, of course, this is actually seeing God, but they were talking to God, and we talk to God daily, or we should be. And then Genesis 17:3, Abraham fell on his face when God talked to him. Okay, so these men obviously know, like I said, something we don't. Now God says in Genesis 6:9 that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Now, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. That should be the name of the title. There's nothing new under the sun. You guys have all heard this stuff before, but it's good to hear it again. What does the word perfect mean? Does it mean what? Upright, right? Complete, blameless, very good. Mature, very good. Okay, it doesn't mean that he was sinless or he was perfect in that sense. Okay, it rather means that he loved God, he had a reverence for God. And we can see the evidence of his fear of God before the flood, during the flood, and after the flood. He has reverence for God all throughout that. And we can see that. That leads me to my second point. Noah was obedient. Noah was obedient. God entrusted Noah with the task of building an ark. Now, I have some questions. Did Noah ever see a boat before? Does it say that he did? Do you think they were on water before? Was there no water on the earth ever? Does that mean that he never saw a boat? They were obviously smart people. I don't know the answer to this. Maybe I shouldn't be asking. But the Bible doesn't make it clear. So we always think, oh, no one never even knew what a boat was. Maybe they did. Yeah, they had lakes and rivers. Maybe he saw a boat. And, I mean, God told him how high and width and everything. Maybe God told him more, but he didn't ask, like, how in the world do I build this boat? What does it look like? He just started building it. I'm not saying that maybe he saw it. I just thought that was interesting. We're told all these things, and we just kind of believe them without actually reading. Also, the 120 years thing. Is 120 years the span from the time Noah started building the ark until flood? Is that what the 120 years is? Where in the Bible does it say that? It just says that, yet his days shall be in 120 years. It doesn't say that until the flood. It just says, and after the flood, we see that men's lives started getting shorter. Again, I don't have answers, and I don't think it's necessarily. It's just interesting to think about these things. Okay, but Noah entrusted him to build a boat, okay, a giant boat, an ark. But we see that Noah had a good track record of obedience. We can see that in his life. We can see that because the world around him was sinful and evil. So what was Noah doing? What was Noah known for? For loving God, right? And for trusting God. Okay, he was obviously obedient before the flood. That's why God chose him. Even when the whole world was pulling him in the other direction, Noah still said in his heart, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be obedient to God. Okay? And like I said, Noah raised a family in that world. Okay? You think it's hard to raise a family in this world? Okay, imagine raising a family in that world, where everybody thought he was going to. Now, that must have been pretty difficult to do. But now, imagine, kind of on that same thought, imagine having no one with you as you're a Christian. Imagine you being the only Christian on earth. There's no pastor there to help you. There's no fellow Christians to pray for you. You're the only one on the earth that's a Christian. I think that would be pretty hard. I think that would be pretty difficult to do. But yet, he still did it. Okay? Let me see. Because of his obedience, God trusted him to build an ark that would preserve all living things on the planet. Now, could you imagine having that responsibility? Imagine God being like, okay, I'm going to flood the whole earth, I want you to build a boat, and you're going to save life. You're going to be the only living people on the earth. That would have been pretty terrifying. Okay, I would have had a lot of questions, but you don't see Noah asking questions, do you? Okay, it says in verse number 22 of chapter 6, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So instead of asking questions, bickering, maybe being like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do this, God. I don't know how to build a boat. Okay? I'm not really sure what to do. That'd be like telling me to build a boat. Maybe. Okay, I don't know the first thing on how to build a boat. Okay, I don't know how to do nothing. I would just be dumbfounded staring at him like, well, maybe you have the wrong guy. He didn't say any of that, he just obeyed God and he did it. And I think it also says that down in verse number 5 of chapter 7. It says, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Okay, so he was obedient. Alright. Then I wanted to say that God won't give us more than we can handle. Okay, he knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows more than anybody else knows. Okay, the Bible says he has our hair numbered. He knows what we're thinking before we think it. He knows what we're going to do. Okay, so if God gives us a task like this, the best thing for us to do is just to obey. It's not for us to ask questions why. It's not for us to be like, you know, I'm not the person for this. He knows what we can handle, so we should just be quiet and handle it, okay, and obey. That's way easier said than done. I understand that. Okay, it's so easy to be like, you just need to do it. Okay? But once you're in that situation, it's so much harder to do it. I know that, and that's why it's good to have a walk with God. But I'm also wondering, what is it that God is telling you or asking you to do that all you need to do is obey? Okay, I doubt that he'll call us to build an ark or a rocket. It would probably be a rocket ship. Seven ark would be a rocket ship. Connor, I want you to build a rocket ship. Okay. But he's probably not going to ask us to build an ark, but God does have something very specific for each and every one of us. It is so easy for us to make excuses on why we shouldn't, rather than just obeying God. But nobody had, I think, as hard as Noah. Noah had so many excuses, and yet he just didn't. Okay, I also think of all the things at this church that could change if we all just did it. Okay, Pastor came to me and said, I want you to do more. I said, I know. Right, I should be doing it. Okay, and I needed that. Okay, because it's so easy just to know what I'm supposed to do, okay, and then be like, well, I'm busy that day. Or I'm busy Saturday. My Saturdays are busy all the time. Or days right after work, I get home from work, I just want to sleep. Okay, but I know what God called me to do. He called me to be a witness, be a testimony for people around me. So it was just, it was very, I guess, kick in the pants that I needed just to do what God told me to do and to obey, not to make excuses, not to ask questions, just to do it. I think our church would be way further ahead if we all had the obedience of Noah. Okay, now I wanted to also point out that Noah was patient. Now the Bible doesn't say that he knew exactly when the flood would be. Okay, the Bible just said, I'm going to flood the earth, Noah. So build an ark. And he didn't know what the condition of the earth was going to be in after the flood. So just try to imagine the anxiety of building this ark and be like, man, I got to build this fast. I don't know, does the Bible say how long it took to build the ark? I think it does. Not in what I was reading. I don't know if it does or not, but I just thought it was probably terrifying to be like, man, I got to build this thing fast. Okay, but he didn't get ahead of himself, of course. But try to imagine the anxiety and the fear that had to have tempted Noah throughout the whole process. Not only did he have what seemed like an endless amount of work building the ark, he knew that once the flood was over, he had more work ahead rebuilding his new life. Okay, now again, he was going to be, him and his family, him and seven other people, I believe, were going to be the only ones on the earth. Okay, imagine how lonely that would be. That would be kind of lonely. I hope he got along with his daughter-in-law. That would have been bad if they were kind of fighting all the time. Okay, but just imagine how lonely that would be and how kind of hard that would be to face that. Nobody to help him rebuild anything. They didn't have doctors. Did they have doctors? These are questions I need to stop asking. Doctors, blacksmiths, okay, carpenters. He just got done building an ark. He had to do it all by himself. He had to rebuild the earth. Okay? Or start, at least. So I'm sure Noah had to have an incredible amount of patience in this work. Now, once he was on the ark, he had to wait. How many days did he have to wait on the ark? How many? Just until the rain started. 7 days, yes. 7 days. So, I think whenever I read that verse, imagine getting in the ark and being like, alright, we're here. Imagine everybody around the ark being like, man, they are insane. Getting in on that boat. And it's not even rain. It's been 3 days and not a single drop so-called rain that's going to fall from the sky hasn't seen rain yet. It's going to come. You know, I'm sure Noah's in there being like, I sure hope God is going to do this. You know, I sure hope it's actually going to rain. Now, the only thing that did give him reassurance was that God closed the door. I'm sure that was like, okay, that's enough to get me to stay on the boat at least. Okay, but he had to have great patience in those 7 days. Now, how long was Noah on the ark for? I think Elizabeth had this down. How many? 377 days. Now, think of being on a boat cooped up with your wife for that long, first off. Then your son, then their daughter, or their wife. Okay. But just imagine being cooped up in there, then with however many animals they had. Okay, they had to feed all of them. Now, the Noah's Ark is cool because they had systems on how they might have done it. I thought that was pretty cool. It kind of made it, oh, it is possible. But it's just amazing to think they spent over a year on this boat. That had to work his patience. It would probably work my patience a whole lot. Okay? And I'm sure Noah felt in one of those days, man, I wish things were just back the way it was. You know, kind of like how the Israelites were whenever they left Egypt. They were like, man, we had it so much better in Egypt whenever we were getting whipped. You know, why can't we just go back to that? Why in the world our minds think that way, I do not know. But maybe Noah thought that, man, I just wish everything could just go back the way it was. Okay, why did it have to be me on this big boat with all these animals? Okay, that's the way our mind thinks. And I'm sure many of us would have a horrible attitude if we were in those shoes. Okay. We had a whole lot of time to think on that boat. And any one of us who says, I think I'd be alright, I think we're being hypocrites. But there are so many areas in our lives today where we can't wait. Okay, I'm a horrible waiter. I am so bad at waiting. I'm probably the least patient person I know. And whenever God's not doing something right away, I'm like, why, God? Why are you not doing this? I just think if I was in Noah's shoes, I would fail horribly. Okay. And if we can't wait, and we can't learn to wait in the little times, then how are we going to do the big times? Noah's case was the flood. And I thought of this verse, Romans 5:3. It says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work in patience. Now, I know pastor said you have to be careful what you ask for, because if you ask for patience, God's going to give you a tribulation to work your patience. I was thinking that, and I was like, I think Christian Jackson came along. Huh, interesting. I think Jackson's supposed to work by patience. Pretty good at it, too. But, no, we just have to be careful what we ask for. But, alright, and then point number 4, it says, Noah had great faith. Noah had great faith. And the Hebrews 11, of course, is the what chapter? The Hall of Faith chapter, it says in verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So after all that Noah went through, he never lost faith. After building an ark, after getting all the animals on there, feeding them, being on there for 377 days, and coming out, seeing everything destroyed. Now, again, with that whole time frame, don't you think a lot of his family, a lot of his friends, a lot of those people that were listed actually died in the flood? Okay? I think that would have been one of the hardest things to do, to get on that boat and not have my family there. Okay? And yet, he didn't lose faith through that. Okay? He had faith that God would help him build the ark, that the ark would actually float. I'd build something that wouldn't work. Okay, but God gave him faith through that. Then he had faith that God would protect him and his family on the ark, and that God would provide after the flood. So we see that Noah was a man of great faith. Of course, he gets a spot. He gets a third spot in the great hall of faith. But then also, I want to know that Noah was thankful. Noah was a thankful man. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. 8 and verse 20, it says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, after the world's worst disaster, I guess you could say, where millions of people died, okay, after all that, instead of going out and being like, God, why in the world did you do this? Why did you do this? Why did you save me? Instead of asking any questions, he just went, thank God. He went and he built an altar and he showed God that he was thankful for him being saved. the whole earth was completely changed. And I know Brother Hilton said, saying all that stuff about how they can't make steel the way they used to. Everything was changed, and Noah getting drunk. I thought that was super interesting. We always point out that Noah got drunk and that was a sin, but he said the whole world was changed. Okay, the firmament was changed. So they probably had vineyards before, but maybe it didn't ferment like it did. I thought that was so interesting. Now, we don't know if it's true or not. And the Bible never condemns him for getting drunk. You know? So it was just kind of interesting to see how different the world was after the flood. Okay, but yet, okay, after everything changed, Noah still showed that he was thankful. So, in those 377 days, did not change his mind to be thankful. You know? Noah didn't forget who his praise was due to. Like I said, he could have focused on everything that he lost. Probably lost all of his family. He lost his home. He lost probably all his livestock. Everything was gone. Okay, and Noah could have focused on that and been like, man, I can't do this. And he could have just gotten really down, but yet he still thanked God. And God allowed him, he thanked him because he saved him and he allowed his family to repopulate the earth. Imagine being the family that were to repopulate the earth. I don't know what would happen if 6 here. That would be quite the world, wouldn't it? We'd have a bunch of Jacobs riding around on four-wheelers, dirt bikes and such. Okay. But no, that was a big responsibility and no one thinks about that. But when our world is turned upside down, our typical response is to complain. Whenever bad things do happen, we need to remember to thank God. We need to build an altar. We need to thank God instead of pushing him away. If Noah had not had a relationship or a walk with God before the flood, I can guarantee you that he would have never been able to endure the flood. He would have come out thanking God on the other end. That's why it's so important for us before bad things happen. We always, this is me, I'm preaching to me right now. Whenever bad things happen in my life, then I go to God. Before things happen, I'm like, yeah, I'll read my Bible and I'll pray. And, you know, but I just won't go above and beyond what I'm supposed to do. I just do the bare minimum. God expects me to read my Bible and to pray, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to go and just do all this crazy stuff that you hear pastors talking about. And then whenever something bad happens in my life, then I go straight to God. I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible. Why don't I do that all the time? Why don't I focus on God and make God my whole life before bad things? And I was thinking, if Noah hadn't have done that, how different that probably would have turned out. Because whenever bad things happen to me, I'm like, man, God, you're being awful mean to me. You know, why are you being so mean to me? But if I would have a walk with God, I'd be like, oh, you know, all things happen for a reason. And that's such an easy thing to preach. That's such an easy thing to say. Oh, all things happen, you know, for good. But whenever you're living in one of those bad situations, it's so hard to say that. And I was thinking maybe God is entrusting us with the big responsibility like Noah. Like Noah had, because we don't have a thankful heart now, like what we're saying, for what he has already given us. You know, we're not thankful for what God gives us now, so how are we going to be thankful whenever God takes everything away from us? You know. But, all right, well, that's all I have. I told you I was going to be fast. So, that's all I have for you tonight. Pray. That is